Good morning and welcome to the 10 Emotional Needs of the Soul Feeling Received. This one is so powerful for me. They all are in their own way, but I'm excited for us to talk today about feeling received. I made some notes about some of the ways over the years that I've become aware of how we can end up feeling not received. And I just want to mention some of the things that happen at birth. The grandmothers made a distinction, didn't they, Ariane, that the womb time and the time that you were born are two significant moments. They are not the same. We might think of feeling received. Good morning, Achari. Hi, sweetie. So good to see you. Yeah. Do you want to say good morning before we get started? I'm just going to unmute us. If I can, there it is. Unmute us all so we can say good morning.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. All of you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
For the ones in Asia.
It's good evening. That's right.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to Marta. Yeah. No, let's see. Yep. Early afternoon.
Afternoon.
Evening. Afternoon. Yes. Okay. And definitely evening for Thailand and India. So,
and Charmaine, what time is it where you are?
I have a blessed 9 a.m. It's perfect.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it worked out beautifully. And I do want to thank you all for agreeing to meet an hour earlier on most of the days. I know that can be a little confusing. That's why I sent the calendar out. Yeah, I know. Well, we'll meet 1 hour later on the first of each month. So that's where the confusion could come in. So please put them on your calendar ahead of time, and I'll send out a notice the day before. And amongst us, perhaps we can all get us there an hour later, 2 days a month. But I'm so glad this worked out. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it a little easier on some of our sisters here. So the grandmothers, they were making a really clear distinction between feeling wanted and feeling received. Even though we might use the same words, we might say, I didn't feel wanted by my parents when I was born, or I didn't feel wanted by one of my parents. It's not so much the word as it is the time period and the energy that was happening when you were born. That's really what we're looking at. That's the distinction the grandmothers wanted us to make in our minds, that your coming into the world is a significant demarcation in your soul's journey. Ariane, would you add anything to that about the distinction?
No, I think you've explained it quite well, because the period before you're born is the preparation period. It's the expectation period, and it's the period where your parents are getting used to the idea of having a new child. And when you're born and you come into the world, it's the reality of having the new being in the family. And how do they take that? How do they accept that? How is your coming into the family and coming into these people's lives accepted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said, Ariane. In that first 3 months of the pregnancy, if we didn't talk about it last time, I want to make sure we do. The way that I felt it then, the way that I felt it when my granddaughter's grandson was born, my great-granddaughter, the first 3 months are intended to be energetically and spiritually a period of negotiation. It's not settled. That's why there are a number of natural abortions during that first 3 month period. If you as a mother or you as a father are not ready to do this, that's the natural time to connect with the spirit. They often show up in your dream time. They'll show up in your meditations. That's the time to say, darling, this just isn't the right time for your father and I. And I've done it. I released a spirit that way. It's beautiful. She came in another way, and I still have her in my life, which is wonderful. So they'll find another doorway if they're part of your path, right? You have agreements. They will find another time or another way. And she's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful. So that first 3 months, I think most women don't really know that. It really is a period of negotiation. So Ariane's right. This is about getting used to the idea of being pregnant. I would add negotiation about the pregnancy, stepping into what does it mean now to be a parent and preparing yourself, getting used to this little one you're carrying inside of your body, bonding. But the birth, that's a whole nother experience. And I just want to talk about some of the traumas, you'll know these, that can occur during the birth itself that can add to a sense of feeling distant or unreceived by your parents. So the birthing process itself, you may have decided to come in breech, which can be a pretty traumatic way to come in. You may have been born during a period of time when they used forceps. And whether they were used for you or not, it was in the field. That can be a difficult way for some babies to come in. Or a C-section. Your mother may have needed to or have chosen to have a C-section. That's kind of missing a lot of that deep connection to the natural energy that propels you, right? The energy of the universe that propels you into the world. There's some of that missing. You may have been induced. Your mother may have been induced, right? And the thing about inducing, and that's way more popular right now, by the way, than it was when I was born. They let mothers go a little bit longer. Not now. They will try to induce at the due date, the exact time they think you're supposed to come in. And what that can do, as Ariane and I have talked about, it can mean that you're actually coming through astrologically at the wrong time for you. And you may feel like things are always like a little out of kilter, or you go to have an astrological reading and it never quite lines up. Your mother may have been induced. You may have actually come in at a time that wasn't your time, or the inducing may have been difficult for you because you weren't ready. So you might go through life feeling like you got pushed in. And some babies just don't want to come out of the womb. They don't want to come out even when nature is saying it's time, right? So if you feel a resistance to life, it could be your personality. It could be inducement, epidural. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Aruna, where mom's not fully connected. You may be experiencing the drugs from the epidural. Absolutely. That could be affecting you. You may have had your cord around your neck. You might have experienced some lack of oxygen. You may have been born during the period of time where they grabbed babies by their ankles, hung them upside down, and spanked their little butts. That was their introduction to life. Can't believe we did that, but we did. Bright lights in hospital rooms. There was a period of time we did not get it. It was way sterile. It was cold. It was mechanical. Your mother may have had toxemia. There might have been a scare that it affected you. And your mother may not have been as present because she was ill. You may have had a difficult time latching to your mother's breast, or your mother's breasts may have been sore and she had a difficult time even having you close to her in the way you wanted to be held. You may have been a bottle-fed baby and you didn't get the benefit of mom's beautiful immune support, right, in her milk, in that early milk. You may have come in where you were damaged in that process in some way, wounded, bruised in that process. Mom may have been. So let's see, I'm sure we could keep going. You may have been an incubator baby. You may have come in really early. You didn't even get mama and daddy when you first came in. You may have been whisked away, right, by hospital staff. Not swaddled. We didn't know for many years how important swaddling was, that that baby would just be wrapped up tight like she was in the, or he was in the womb, so they would feel safe. We didn't get that. If you were born premature, again, that's a maybe not quite ready, even if that was your astrological intention. You may not have felt ready. We put babies in hospital nurseries for years. So if you were lucky, you got a little time with your mama, before you got whisked away into another room with a bunch of crying babies, sounds you had never heard before. Not your daddy's voice, not your mama's voice, not your older brother's voice, not the houses or sounds around the house, but these strange hospital sounds and all these babies. Very different. Sleep deprivation. Oh my God. If it was a long, long process with the birth, right, a long labor, your parents may be totally exhausted by the time you come in and might have a difficult time really being able to be present to you because they're not fully there. And I'm sure we could go on and on with all the things. Recently, abortion. Yeah, absolutely. And we did talk about that with feeling wanted. If your mother tried to abort you, if you know your parents were thinking about it, it would be, you would have the feeling of being unwanted. And if you made it all the way through birth and they still weren't sure about having you, you would feel unreceived all the way through. And if you have had any of those experiences as a mother, you might be playing out some of what you experienced at your birth, or it might be part of your family history. It may be what your grandmother experienced or your mother experienced at their birth or father. And some thread of that is coming through your birth experience and the way that you gave birth. Or it just may be the circumstances that you're in with that particular child at that particular time in your life. So the idea of the ideal that everybody's happy and ready to receive you and they're singing your song and they're what you want, right? You are the most precious thing in the whole world. It's all about you in that moment. All about you. It's just something that rarely happens for us, but it's needed. That complete attention to you as the most precious being in that moment. So when it's missing, you know what happens. We've been talking about some of that. There are other ways that we disconnect. I recently was working with a woman who had been told throughout her life that she was doted on as a baby. And there were pieces emotionally that never made sense to her. And so we went back in to holding into the womb, into post-womb, some periods that were coming up for her. And what she discovered was, yes, her mother was holding her, but her mother wasn't bonding from her heart. So she never felt fully wanted or received because mom never felt fully wanted or received and she didn't know how to bond with her baby. So it was always there. No matter what I do, I never feel like I get what I need and want in life. Everybody else does, but I don't. So she would see other people in her life, other little ones getting that bonding, but she wasn't getting it. And once she realized that, she saw how she played that out with her mother in her life as an adult. And she went, oh my God, it was there all along, but it was so normalized she hadn't seen it. So now she has a chance to bond with herself, to remother herself, to recreate that bond that she wanted to feel with the little one that never felt it. Then the healing started to happen for her. In my own case, my mother came to me after she died, after both my parents died, and in a dream, and she showed me that the father who raised me was not my father. I had a different father, different family name. So that was beautiful to know that, because then I realized a lot of the clearing work I'd been doing around my father wasn't going to be enough because I had another father to do clearing work with. I had two fathers, not one. And it led to the question, was she my mother? Was she able to tell me the full story? And as I went to psychics, they were like, don't you know you were adopted? It's so in your field, right? It's so in your field, you're not aware that you were adopted. So, as I was so used to it. So that ability to then recognize what was really going on. I know there's a part of us that gets scared. It's like, I don't want to know I was unwanted and not received. Who wants to know that? But the gift of knowing it is that then you can clear it and you can fulfill it. And here's the good news. If you have children, as you are fulfilling it, something my first energy teacher taught me, as you fulfill it within yourself, it is fulfilling for previous generations and it is fulfilling for future generations. It affects the past and the future. So your mother and grandmother, father and grandfather get the benefit of that healing, as do your children. So it's well worth that energy. No holding. Oh my gosh. Talk to me about that, Aruna. Talk to me a little bit.
It's quite common in India that it's arranged marriages mostly. And then the family which you're married into may not be the right environment. Pregnant woman experiences love or any kind of connection. Mm-hmm. Not to her husband, not to her in-laws, not to anybody. And she's not even sent to her family of birth. So there's a lot of struggle where she is, and she has to also, she may want the child, she may love the child, she may be waiting for the child, you know. However, everybody around may not really be supportive of that. And they may be emotionally abusing her.
So she's not feeling received within the family she's in.
I myself have experienced that when I was pregnant with my daughter. I had nobody to go to, and I was in the US. And I didn't have a support from my partner, neither did I have support from family. So it was an emotionally very difficult time to go. Though I wanted the child so badly and I was connecting to her so much. Independently, maybe even my husband wanted her, but the relationship between us was not so good. So doesn't that affect her?
Yeah. How do you think it affected her, Aruna? What did you see?
In many ways. She's alone in many ways. I see her being alone in many places. She's a happy kid. She's so loving and she's everything. But I also see her block people away from her. I don't see her enter intimate relationships. She's always scared of getting too close or getting hurt or vulnerable. I think I'm not too sure what's going on very deeply within her. She seems very happy and very, very connecting, but I also see experience that distance, you know.
Yeah, she feels like she has to be careful, doesn't she?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. so sad because I really wanted her, and I wanted her to be happy. And I used to talk to her while in the womb, and I used to play chants to her with headphones, and I used to create the best of experiences for her. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I used to watch this I Love Lucy series so that I'm always happy. I didn't know how else to make it happy for her. So the times that I was very sad and very, very lonely, I would play these I Love Lucy series and binge on them, you know, just to keep her so happy. Yeah.
What a beautiful gift. And she must have represented and been, not just represented, but been that fulfillment for you of bonding and connection.
Yeah, even in the womb, we would talk. The times that I would be so sad and tearful, And I would see her, I would feel her push herself, you know, like pat me from within, you know. I would see, feel the movement, and I would feel her parentify me, you know. I feel sad that she did that, but I wasn't as knowledgeable. I was very young, and I didn't know all these things then, and I was also very emotional. So yeah, it just brought me those memories.
It's so true. All the circumstances that you are going through, she is going through at the same time, right? This is one of the great challenges for mother and child. Mm-hmm. And it's an agreement the soul makes. Yeah. Before you come into the womb, I get it that my mom is experiencing this, my father is this, and I am willing to come into this family. And to know that it's part of the soul's agreement, and at the same time to recognize that all of us in the womb were picking up our mother's fears, her hopes, her dreams, her reactions to fear. This has actually been studied. And shamanically, it's been known for a long time that how a mother deals with fear often becomes an imprint for the child.
And this is an apology. Now she's almost 18 years old, and so far I haven't heard an apology from any one of them who hurt me during that period of time, or, you know, after also. It's almost like there's no acknowledgement of that. There's no acknowledgement also. And in India, you stay married for life. There's no second chance here, you know. There's no. You don't even, I have that mind also in me in that sense, you know. So I just wanted to ask. And it's a,
so if I may be, this might sound a little bit blunt, and I don't mean it harshly. And what I'm really speaking to is that we have a tendency within our cultures, the cultures we create. And this, I believe, comes from way back to where we were, how we were formed and how we were used. That there is a tendency to enslave each other, to manipulate each other, to try to make other conform to what I need him or her to be. And we're willing to do that at the expense of other. And Ariana and I have talked many times about this slavery kind of mentality that gets played out on the earth in different ways, in different cultures at different times, including my own Cherokee heritage. I mean, we literally took slaves. You know, when there was a war, we brought slaves into the village. So most cultures have some background with this way of enslaving other, and particularly women who throughout time have had, at least in our most recent few thousand years, no rights, right? Look at our women in the Middle East, right? Under Sharia law. Under harsh, strict Sharia law, no rights. So that ability that we have within us to be able to take another human being and basically enslave them and treat them poorly. And I would hold to you, Aruna, that forcing a lifelong marriage, forcing it when you have no choice, is a form of enslavement. May not be intended to be that, but it becomes that. You know that through your experience, right? That here you are in this experience, but you don't have a say. You don't have it, a right. That is the very abuse that we as women are healing on the planet right now. It's the reason our sacred feminine consciousness is so important, because it says, wait a minute, Women are not property. Women are equal citizens in this world, equal decision makers. And our rights and our needs are just as valid as anyone else's, as all men.
Because we are as divine as men.
Exactly.
We have as much divinity in ourselves as men do. And we have the right to our own God self. And they don't have any more right to Godhead than we do. Mm-hmm. And unless we stand in our divinity and claim our divinity, we are doing an injustice to ourselves and to our children. And that's what the sacred feminine is all about. It's claiming our divine wisdom. It's claiming our divine right to be whole. No one has the right to take that from us.
And even in this country where we've been, the women have been working so hard for emancipation since 1800s, still there are remnants that I've encountered in business, that I've encountered in my relationships, where it's so embedded in men's DNA that it is the world according to them, that I can't tell you the number of times I've stood toe to toe with a man. It is a learned helplessness. That's a really good description of it, Aruna. Very much so. And it becomes a pattern inside of us. Many times, and probably over the top. Jeffrey would tell you, over the top, you know, Misa, I'm here, I'm listening, right? That I'm standing toe to toe and saying, no, you aren't getting it. I know how to do this. Pay attention to me. This is my domain. This is what I know. I expect it to be respected. If a man can't. And that warrior will come up, that warrioress will come up to make sure, mostly that I'm clear, right? That I'm clear. Yeah, exactly. We get to reclaim our life. And we have to, if we want to feel whole inside, we can't give it over to someone else anymore. And then we get to learn what negotiation looks like, right? What does it look like when he's not in charge and there's a negotiation? And my poor father, the one who raised me, he got me early on. Oh, you can hear it. Thank you. Yeah, he didn't believe women should have jobs. I was taking jobs away from men. I had no business going to college because that would take away a job from a man. We had interesting debates. And finally, I convinced him to sign the papers because we didn't have the money to send me to college, to sign the paperwork so that I could get financial aid so I could go to school and do the work I came here to do. We all are going to get, all of us get a struggle somewhere in our lives, every single one of us, because this is the time of women's emancipation and claiming our sacred selves so that men can see it and claim it. And Ariane, you were sharing, you were seeing at the podcasting convention, and I've been seeing it with some younger men. Thank God many of our younger men are more aware of that. They have a stronger sense of respect for the sacred in women. Yay. And that sacred feminine self within themselves. They're actually willing to talk about it and acknowledge it. Yeah. Thank you, Aruna, for sharing from your story and your challenge and your strength to keep going and keep finding your way through it for yourself and your beautiful daughter. She's lucky. She's very lucky. She may not know it yet, but she will. She will. Yeah. Anyone else? What came up for you? What moved through you as you were working with this energy of
Marta wanted to speak.
Did you? Oh, sorry, honey. I couldn't see you. Yeah, please do.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's I understand really well what she shared. I was once married in India, so I understand really well the situation she was into. Mine had different outcomes, but in a way, I feel that perhaps in some karmic way, had some deep connection with India and the Indian ways. I've put myself in a situation where I had to perhaps begin to choose me being this woman in this lifetime with a different way of perceiving reality. But my main point here is perhaps just this simple note that I understand really well everything that you shared, because I've lived it in this lifetime. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I wanted also to say that when Misa was listing these different situations that can happen with the not feeling received, was one that was pinpointed to me, which is the light and being born in an environment that is full of light. As I was experiencing the meditation today, just prior to our encounter, that was strong for me, how uncomfortable it was to be born in an environment not only full of light, that was put in evidence, and it was also put in evidence before when I worked with inner child. Not sure if with emotional needs before, but with inner child, that was really evident. That was evident to me. And the other thing that came up for me, so I've done this meditation once, because today is actually the day I start, not when Misa releases the meditation, so I have a little different schedule, was something about the medical team, the energy of the medical team. And what I picked up was the sexual energy that was somehow circulating in the medical team. So this, it seemed that there was something about flirting between the members of the team. But now as I'm speaking, actually what I'm getting is that it is about the vulnerable position that mother is into, right? With her genitals exposed and that. And this is curious, because as I worked with the meditation today, then I was reviewing the materials from last week and the explanation about receive that Misa gave. And then I was praying and singing and went into the silence. And this time around, what I got was the ideas or the words were around the sacredness of the vagina, but not only the vagina, but the whole female reproductive system, but mainly around the vagina. And what I was getting was about the sacred passage that it is, and that is not being seen, received both by the woman that has the vagina and by the counterpart, the partner, and even here the medical team, as that sacred passage, as that sacred channel that it is. And while I was also getting something around the themes or the ideas were around that sacred fluid, that sacred water, so the blood, so that sacredness versus being objectified, being used. Nothing against the pleasure of sexuality, that's not my point, but the excessive fruition of that in a way that is, we are a bit different from animals, right? So we can actually bring consciousness to any of the four instincts of fear, food, right? All of these basic instincts. Sexuality and sleep can bring awareness to that. So then perhaps that becomes less of an animal instinct and more of something else. So yeah, I was getting something around this, and yeah, this was there for me. Yeah.
Something, Marta, I just wanted you to know intuitively, you had your hand up a minute ago and you're wearing a bracelet.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, what I saw was a medical glove on your right hand. I saw the glove. So I just wanted to affirm that your inner senses and mine picked up something as well about that birth, your mother's exposure, perhaps yeah. the energy of the doctor. And you, my dear, who are so empathic, and you would have been incredibly sensitive and intuitive coming through that birth canal. If there was any sense, and there certainly was for many, many medical teams, right? It was a procedure, not a holy and sacred moment. That's not how they were trained. To really receive that child coming through the remaining water of the womb, right? And blood out into the world, and that sacred sanctuary of a woman's vagina. Oh my gosh, if there was anything amiss, you would have picked it up.
And it is interesting also how it connects with my own struggle as a trained physician, right? Because that's my primary line. And I do struggle, though I have immense respect for the medical perfection and profession. I do struggle with it. And I actually, curious enough, in the last couple of weeks, namely the last one, I have been encountering different medical people because of following my mom's situation. And it's, I try to not step into criticism, which is challenging, but I do my very best, knowing that that is not the best energy of all to create reality. But is this feeling of what Mises just said, of how unsacred this art is nowadays, which is something huge to practice medicine. Of course, everything in life is huge and it's sacred, but this caring for someone else's health, someone that is in distress, that is healed, and how often that is taken as just a means to make money and pay the bills or have prestige. I have been observing that in my journey. I mean, if ever since the medical school days, and now following my parents, namely my mother now, and with this awareness that came strongly for me today in the meditation, how we... Perhaps the heart and the soul of the medical practice is corrupted.
Well, it's changed so much. You know, the whole concept of course, it's coming back, but the midwife who walked through the pregnancy with the woman in her home, and home deliveries were more common. And we started to integrate, what was it, the 60s, 70s, that fathers could be there, right, rather than sent away, that there was this sense of together we are welcoming this child into the world, is a very different experience, particularly if you have a midwife who connects to the sacred sense of what is happening while also watching medically for the care of the mother and child. And I think when we moved it into clinical settings, we lost some of that. And here in the States, we're starting to move back to some of that. There is a much greater sense of making sure that the environment is conducive and low stress. You know, that's where we start. Low stress for mother and child, and more welcoming, more loving. It's a journey back to what we've known, incorporating the sacred. And Charmaine, you've added something here that's really beautiful, that you became aware of that during Sundance. Do you want to comment on that? And thank you, Marta, for really bringing that into our consciousness about the vulnerability of the mother.
Yeah, I'd forgotten all about that. It was when Marta was speaking, it was when I was doing a Sundance ceremony, I could see these highly revered and respected medicine men or shamans during this ceremony, and how the spiritual energy of women, it was like no matter how much training they had, they couldn't hold it in a way of spiritual. I don't know. It was hard to, they succumbed. They couldn't translate it properly. And I could just see them looking at a few women in particular who were very sensual, but it was more than that. It was a vulnerability with a very strong spirituality that they didn't even know that they had, that was coming and rising. And the men just stood and they were just like, but it translated from them as sexual energy. And it was just projecting out. And all the men tended now to come in on board. And it was difficult because of the ceremony, because of everything, for any man to stand outside of that, that was grabbing them. Mm-hmm. And it's a weakness. It's a weakness. It's untrained. It's hard to explain. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. I wish I could have better words.
You're saying some of the medicine women or some of the women were very much in their sexual energy.
There is a distortion with men that I'm just starting to understand. That innocence is sexual. There's innocence, something that's uncorrupted, something untouched and pure. And when a woman still has some of that vulnerability, like with birthing, innocence, it's all in the same playing field. It's all in the same field, which brings out predatory instincts or feelings. It's the same thing that it's a ball of yarn that's intertwined with so many different layers and feelings and until it comes apart. So to attach one aspect of it as vulnerability, no, it's not just vulnerability. It's vulnerability, it's innocence, it's naivety, it's all of these things that elicit different things that translate as sexuality, because there isn't enough education or the mind is not trained to completely understand the nature and the power of what's in that moment. And because they can't, they automatically go to what can understand is a sexual drive or sexual release or orgasm or whatever that may be. I'm not saying it's okay. And I really wish I could describe this better, but
you're doing great. It's tricky territory. May I comment? Did I cut you off, sweetie?
No, it's okay. I'm okay. Go for it.
Well, there is a mix. It's not as clear and clean as we think it is. And that's what makes it confusing. There are women who have reported having orgasms with birth. It is possible to have an orgasmic birth. Mm-hmm. And when we think about it that way, the sexual energy that's connected to the birthing process can be there. Mm-hmm. The same is true in ceremony. The kundalini is rising. So when you're talking about that energy rising, and this is why I think we get in trouble with so many spiritual teachers and leaders where they start acting out that sexual energy in some way, and they either are or appear to be sexual predators because of the way that the energy is flowing. There is a place in which that innocence does have a connection to, that's all I want to say. I don't want to describe it any more deeply, to
me
that
neither.
Sexual predator energy, because that is the very age, it's say 13, 12, 13, 14, when a woman comes into her menses, typically, and yes, we have some women starting younger because of the estrogen in our diets, but at that age where it's more natural to come into your menses, that is where men tend to manipulate young girls into becoming prostitutes. the whole sex trade that's now being studied and documented, what they're seeing is that most of those girls have been brought in when they are still girls, and they are very innocent, and they are very vulnerable. So there certainly is a relationship between that predatory energy and that innocence that we do need to clear. And yes, of course it would come up during ceremony, because ceremony brings up everything that has been under the surface to be seen and to be recognized and to be addressed.
I know that at the time that I was extremely horrified by it, to look at these men who I revered and respected, to see that this was happening to them. And it was very confusing for me, because for me as a woman, it's very clean cut, and it just wasn't. But as I get older, the more I've experienced, the only thing that I do understand is there's huge confusion. There's confusion.
Yes. And the responsibility when you're going deeper, for any of you that take this work we're doing here and eventually take it into doing ceremony, your responsibility is to process what's happening through you. Preferably without judgment, and preferably without acting on it. Which is why we as women are taught to hold. And ideally, when energies arise that are confusing, that we don't understand, whether it's our own predatory nature that comes up, our own fear of our own innocence and vulnerability, or whatever is moving through us, stimulated through especially deep shamanic work, which is what they're doing at Sundance, through that process is to, what the grandmothers have been teaching us, is to hold it. Don't do anything with it. Hold it in love until it begins to sort and sift itself out and you can see what's really there. Yeah. And you become, as the grandmothers would say, not a woman reacting to the energies within you and around you, but instead you are becoming a woman of your choosing. Mm-hmm. And you were choosing consciously, and you were choosing from that divine clarity. And that is going, that's true in any ceremony, and that includes the medicine people. In fact, the medicine people, as Ariana and I can tell you, when you're the ones holding space for that ceremony, there is any kind of ceremony of great depth, there is no time off. You are constantly working and working and working the energy that is there and being present to what is there and assessing whether it needs to be acted on or not. Would you, Ariana, you've done your share of ceremonies with me of that depth and power.
Totally. And as Marta was saying, sexual energy is part of our physicality, and it holds a tremendous power, and you can't ignore it. I'm in ceremony, so I am, you know, only going to hold blessed energy of the divine. Bullshit.
You hold it all.
Misa and I know from holding ceremony over years, everything comes up. Everything comes up. We had one ceremony where there was a sexual predator on the prowl. Mm-hmm. Our first reaction was, oh my God. And then it was like, hey, it's here for us to hold. It is here for us to hold. And so what you do is you hold the sexual energy, because the sexual energy can move a lot of people to places they need to face. Mm-hmm. The places they need to face. They need to face their woundedness. They need to face their abuse. They need to face being the abuser. They need to face what happened to them and how to move through it. And you're right, Charmaine. It is that a lot of people don't have the education to hold, to know that this is part of life. In our culture, in the Indian culture, in a lot of other cultures, you don't talk about sex. There's a lot of guilt associated with it. There's a lot of repression about it. And so sexuality is distorted. So we need to know the sexual energy. We need to understand the sexual energy. We need to hold the sexual energy so that the predators don't have the power.
So it can heal.
So it can heal.
Yeah.
And Sharmaid, your point, I'm sorry, go ahead, honey.
No. So when it comes up, you don't dismiss it. You don't distort it. You hold it in love. You hold it in compassion. You hold it in the sacred feminine. And you allow it to be from both sides, not to play out, not to manifest, but to allow. Okay?
And with respect, Charmaine, if you're talking about medicine men that were starting to prey on young women, that's a ceremonial breach. That means the medicine man wasn't doing his work.
Right.
He wasn't recognizing why that energy was up and he wasn't doing his work. And it is the responsibility of the Sundance chief. And I would think this, I don't know, but I do know that that if my elder had been there in that moment, she would have been pulling a brother aside, a medicine man aside, and saying, brother, your energy is out of balance here. That's part of women knowing who we are and standing in our power and expecting men to behave appropriately and get their energy in check.
Yes, and I actually did. I pulled one of the helpers aside, and being the only Caucasian woman there, with all the stuff that it was on, and I'm sorry this has gone so far the other way for you other ladies, but I did. In my littleness, I had to say something, and I did. And it was interesting, not interesting, but I was quite surprised how it was then turned around when the men started talking to check themselves, that it was now her fault.
Oh yeah. So that shows you the enculturation, doesn't it? But it's always
it
a woman.
It does. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really recognized there needs to be, and I didn't understand it fully and I still don't, but the level of healing that needs to be done around spirituality and sexuality.
Absolutely.
Because they're both such strong feelings. And the healing is, you heal that, and there is so much that as men and women, when we come together, that can be done. The powerhouses that we can be, once you start healing just that, is a whole different world that we live in, a completely different world.
Yeah, very well said, Charmaine. Very well said. And we do need our boundaries. In the instance that Ariane was talking about, my security made sure that he left by the next morning. Mm-hmm. I knew why he was there. I knew what my questers were struggling with. They had pulled his energy in inadvertently, right? And not knowingly, they didn't do that. But because that's what they were working on, was healing their sexual abuse, they pulled in a predator. And so we made sure that they got to experience the safety of him leaving the camp. That was as much a part of it, that someone would step in to protect, because most of us, at the time that we are abused, there's no one there protecting us and standing for us. So thank you for being at ceremony and for standing up for those young women and having that courage, because it does all start exactly what Marta is talking about, that vulnerability from the moment of our birth, the way that we are or are not received, the degree to which the doctor, the nurses, the father, the mother, the degree to which their own spiritual energy is clear right? Or not clear. And the degree to which they're able to take ownership and process that, or that you as a spirit are coming in. One of the hardest things for me to see was a new baby that I held and see in her field that she was going to be sexually abused. And I was her caretaker for a period of time. And I'll tell you, every warrior instinct in me, not on my watch, not on my watch, and trying to protect her throughout her life from it. And she was sexually abused. And she walked into it because her soul had to experience it. So yes, I still did what was mine to do to protect her as best I could. And I was there for her and will continue to be there for her as she works through the pain of healing that abuse that she's not quite ready to do yet. And to continue, as Ariane has so reminded us, to continue to hold and hold and hold her, her abuser, all parties. Because as we know, when we cycle through lifetimes, in one cycle we're the abuser, in another we're the victim, in another we're a bit of both. Most of us are always a bit of both inside of us. To keep finding space for the healing. And there is, in ceremony and in the time of our birth, which is a sacred time, any of these significant sacred times, it's all going to come up. Clean laundry and the dirty laundry, it's all going to come up. And so this is our opportunity, right, to heal this right now. Whatever it was, when we were coming into the world, the ways in which we did not feel purely received in its absolute pureness. If mother was embarrassed, my gosh, this went on for many generations. A woman was embarrassed by her genitals. She might not even know the name of her genitals. We referred to, there were years where women were just talked about down there. Didn't realize we had a clitoris or a vagina or a, right, our ovaries and our vulva, and that it was part of creative energy. Powerful creative energy to demystify some of our relationship to our own bodies. Hi, Maria. Just to demystify some of that and to recognize these are part of our sacred elements, right? They are the way that the divine has manifested through us, as Ariane was saying, right? That we are divine as well. Really claiming that. And not going into that powerlessness, that helplessness that you were talking about, Aruna, that we do, right? Because of our enculturation. You know, I'm sure, Charmaine, that went through your mind, do I say something, do I not? This isn't my cultural tradition. This isn't my spiritual practice, but there's something out of kilter here. What's my responsibility to these young women? What's my responsibility?
And feeling vulnerable myself. Because I was the only Caucasian, there was a lot of discrimination. There was a lot of people who didn't want me there. I wasn't wanted nor received. Mm-hmm. And to feel at the time, like I have an incredible level of timidness. That's huge. And I also have a level of bravery. That's huge. Not much in between. And that one won out, but it was hard. Again, to stand up and to say something. But this is a part of the healing as well within ourselves, myself, as well as with the rest of the world, us women.
Absolutely. To call it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that's what I was doing then. It was just so compelling that I could not in this place of power and in this place. And it was rather unusual. I've never felt this before and I've never felt it since, was that I had an accountability to these women, that these women were mine. They were mine. And they were like leaves off my own tree. They were like, I was the branch and they were my leaves, and that I was responsible for their well-being, for their journey, I've never felt that before. And I don't know why. And I've never felt it since, but I think that's what made me speak out, was that, and it was like something was pushing me into there. It wasn't like I was feeling this. Mm-hmm. This was on me, kind of, however.
That responsibility to another, that you are them and they are you. And you were the one with the knowledge and experience to be able to see and call out what others might have been afraid to call out or may not have seen. Yeah. And to step through the cultural barrier that was there to still be that voice for a greater truth. And that we do that for each other. We're still sisters and brothers unto one another, right? Yeah, still that. And there is a payoff. My father was the one that showed that to me. My father was the one, remember, that didn't want me to go to college. So his view of receiving a girl into the world was, I take care of her until I pass her off to another man. And he loved me fiercely, but that belief was in there. And I fought it and I railed against it at an older, my whole life, actually, from what has been communicated to me, but particularly right at college. And after he died, he came back to me in a dream and he had a sword in his hand and he was bent over the sword. And what a shaman had to explain to me was that was fealty. That was, I am committed to you. And he said, not through one life, but through lifetimes, he is committed to serving you. So that fierceness didn't deter him at all. Not his soul. His soul knew what that story was about. The willingness to stand in that feminine wisdom that you were born into, whether the father there can receive you in that or not, that to choose to stand in it and receive yourself into the fullness of your little soul, your mature soul, and what you came here to be or do. I know that we're at our time, ladies, but I can afford to go a little bit longer. So if you need to go, we love you and we understand. I just want to check in with Achari. She hasn't had a chance to say anything, and Maria. So Achari, talk to us, girl.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, initially I want to share about the experience I had with the guided meditation. And also before that, as Aruna was sharing about the tradition and the culture in India and how women are treated. I noticed I got very angry. There was a lot of anger coming up in me. And so I also heard a voice say, don't be angry. You know, you're supposed to be here and share about something else. Don't get angry. I was trying to push my anger away. And as I listen more and more about within our circle today, and I notice because I was pushing my anger away, I kind of detach myself sometimes, many times. Like, okay, I don't want to, I'm hearing, I'm listening, but I don't want to be too close to it. I was noticing that. So, that was interesting to me. Then I kind of come back and hold my anger a little bit, but I couldn't do it as much. And I also noticed when I got triggered a lot when I hear how women are being treated in this world. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that I would like to work on really with that. And so in terms of the guided meditation, before that, I was also thinking about our Chinese culture as well. You know, when Missa was talking about how father is thinking about daughter, And I think unconsciously, in Chinese culture, daughter or woman in the family seems to be less useful for the family and not very well received. Mm-hmm. And I guess unconsciously I felt that because I grew up and I always feel like my parents love my brother more. And I kind of don't feel being valued. Especially I don't feel love from my father. And so that was reminding me on that. And regarding to the guided meditation, you know, I think even started or during the meditation, I was like, no, I was still enjoying being in the womb from the last guided, the first guided meditation. I was like, why do I have to come out? You know, it felt so good to be, you know, be in the womb from the first one, you know. So there was kind of resistance somehow. I was like, okay, I have to come out now because Misa is telling us that. Somehow I was following the guided meditation, but thinking about it, I felt perhaps I was not ready to come out yet. I need more nurturing in the womb. I needed that. Yeah. But anyway, so I thought like, okay, it's time to come out.
And Achari, you may have needed more time in the womb. That may be true. There also is this allure with the womb because it's safe. It feels secure. And this is the piece about receiving that is so fundamental. If indeed your little spirit is picking up that your parents aren't quite ready for you, or one is fully ready to receive you, but the other one is not, it's not the reception. It's hard to want to go through the portal, right? Because birth is not an easy process for mother and child. And that allure, that invitation on the other side needs to be, oh, so compelling. To be willing to move through that channel into the world and know that it will be just as wonderful on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I didn't feel that going through that would be a wonderful place for me. I felt a lot of resistance, even when I, during the guided meditation, when I felt like, okay, I'm out. And I felt, and even in my life, I always constantly feel unsafe. I would have a lot of body tension. So coming out from the womb, I felt really unsafe during the process, the guided meditation. Mm-hmm. I also feel like this place doesn't belong to me. I came out and I was like, what is this place? It's bright. I don't like it. There's no warmth here. It's different from the womb. Until towards the end, when you told us to kind of remember a time when I am being received. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had this image of a divine mother holding me in her chest. And then I could hear the sound of the heart beating, which is the same sound as I was in the womb. And it felt comforting.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, now I feel safer. So it ended there. So after that, I carry on with my daily life. I still feel a lot of unsafeness. I felt a lot of tension as well. So I tried to recall the image of that mother to make myself feel safe, but still many times I feel unsafe. So perhaps there may be other needs that is not fulfilled yet, I guess. So I still feel unsafe many times.
And you're also giving yourself something to help you connect with a sense of safety. And it's, I'm noticing that it's visceral, it's tactile, you can feel it. You can hear it, the heartbeat of Sacred Mother. So your senses come alive in this, what is safe outside the womb, which is so significant, Achari, that your conscious, your subconscious mind, your higher self has given you this to help you anchor into a sense of safety. And Ariane, I don't know if you all know, Ariane's here visiting me right now. I'm so lucky to have her here. And we were having a conversation last night about how we see this with women, where we've entered into a very masculine world and we've learned all the things we need to do to power through, right? With all the vulnerabilities that we're feeling, like feeling unsafe. And then we touch into the sacred feminine. And if we let the sacred feminine sink in, we love it. It's like being back in the womb. It's that total acceptance. We feel totally loved. We feel totally safe. Whatever it is that we needed, we're feeling it in that womb space, in that feminine space. And then we don't want to leave. So it's really time to take that sense of masculine know-how and that beautiful, beautiful ability to accept and love and let it come together in a magical way that allows our lives to be totally different than they have been. And we get scared. And we said, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave, right? And so what has to happen when we do that? If we stay in that resistance, if we don't hold it, and some of us do, some of us don't, if we don't hold it and accept it as part of our process, then the universe has to create contractions. Boom, girl, you're going, whether you want to or not. It's, oh, that's right, it makes noise here. It has to happen, right? So it's always, as the grandmothers remind us, you get to be a woman of your choosing. You get to choose. It's okay to be unsafe. It's okay to be safe. It's okay to say, I don't want to come out of this womb. It's okay to come out. And to know that the natural laws of the universe are going to work. So if we can find a way, as your higher consciousness has, that says, okay, here's how you take that feeling of safety with Divine Mother and embody it, now you can walk in the world and be safe. And you can engage with the world and still be safe without having to stay in the womb. She's given you, your higher consciousness has given you such a beautiful way to let those two, your need and your desire to be in the world, come together. Does that resonate as true, Achari?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's so beautiful that you've done that.
May I ask a little something to Achari? Is it okay?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? How's your dizziness?
I'm getting better. Yeah.
Good. Good to know.
Thank you. Thank
bye,
you.
Aruna. Bye, Aruna. Love you. It's a beautiful question. And that is fascinating, isn't it? It will be interesting to see, Achari, as you move through these steps, what does happen to that inner ear and your mind and your spirit. She's been working her spirit. Yeah. Your energy flow is shifting. Yeah.
You find that balance point. Uh-huh. And then you don't get dizzy anymore because you're not trying to figure out which way to go. It's that balance. And then the dizziness goes away.
Thank you.
Well done, my dear. Well done.
Thank you. I have one thing I would like to ask for. I find it difficult to hold the anger that I when I see women being abused or treated in a way. That's why I got so much triggered in when Aruna was saying that. I don't know. I don't know what is my question. Maybe maybe please help me to be able to hold it as well. I don't know.
Absolutely. And I looked away because a little bird flew in as you were talking about that. I always pay attention to the critters because they tell stories when they come near. So, and it was confused, by the way. The bird seemed confused about where it could go. One thing I have learned about anger over the years is that anger can be held. Frustration can be held. But when the anger is raw, and by the way, your anger is beautiful. Your anger is necessary. It's what gets us to take action. Enough sets a boundary. It's our I've had enough. It's vital for women, and we are going to feel it as we are emancipating from this dream we've been in that men are also powerful and women are submissive. As that's shifting, we are going to get angry. It's healthy, but it's not healthy to act it out. It's healthy for it to be a catalyst. Anger is, in my experience, always a catalyst for change. Something must change, and it has to start here. And what I found is that actually some kind of physical movement really helps anger release. So that can be through sacred dance, that can be through painting, that can be through a walk, that can be through sound. And I will ask Jeffrey to put the sound wave pattern into the members area for you, so you have a way to sound it out and know that the sounds are important to releasing the anger so that the charge of it can release a little bit. Then it's easier to hold. If you can just get some of the charge off of it, then boom, you can get into a more still place with it. So I'll include that, but know that you may have another method that works better for you. I have not found that for most people, now I don't want to say that because for some people it might work. You know, you might have a punching bag in your room. The key with anger is not to project it toward another person, but to allow yourself to feel the anger about the situation and the energy. Otherwise, you're throwing what my elders would call bad medicine. You're basically sending a curse out. So rather than projecting it toward another person, invite that punching bag to take the energy for you and transform it. Invite your dance. Even me doing this transforms energy. Right, to invite my body to hold it with me, let it go. Screaming into a pillow, ask the pillow and the feathers to help you release the energy, right? To invite nature and your surroundings to help support you in releasing the charge of the energy so that you can actually be with it in a constructive way.
Yeah. And I think, and Ariane, you're here. I think my anger about men treating women is also from my past life. I think I have a lot of image, which is not this lifetime. So, and yeah.
Yeah.
And you can let that go too. You can let that go too.
And as we do that, by the way, ladies, what we're also creating is an environment in which our men feel that energy shift. Right. It's easier for them to anchor into the sacred within us and respect the sacred within us, because we're not angry with them, but we've transmuted and transformed the energy, and we know who we are, and we know our sacred energy and our sacred signature, and we stand in it. And your whole being starts to vibrate. I expect to be respected as a woman.
Because when they encounter energy, they get defensive. And when they encounter acceptance, then they can accept you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ariane, when you say I can let go of that too. I felt some shift within me. And also thank you everyone for reflecting about the dizziness and the alignment. That was yeah, I felt something.
Yay! Achari, you rock. You're doing it. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for such beautiful sharing.
You all rock.
Yeah, that's right. You do. Ariana and I constantly, we track the most amazing women. Marto, what came up for you, honey?
It's my curious mind. Where in the world are you, Achari?
I am in Thailand, Marto.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And you, where are you?
I'm in Madeira Island in Portugal, but it's out of the coast of Morocco, closer to Africa.
Okay.
And Aruna, who's been with us, is in India, not far from Chennai. And Charmaine, you are in Alberta? Canada? I remembered. Yay. Maria, where are you? Are you in the same?
Ontario. Oh, sorry.
You're in Ontario?
I'm in Ontario. So hello, Alberta. Hello, everyone. Hello. The first time for actually meeting you, so it's my pleasure. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Yeah,
we're glad you're here.
Yeah, beautiful share too, by the way. Achari, yes, it was beautiful. Thank you. It was very good. Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
So Maria, I know you've heard a little bit of the sharing here. So what's moving for you around this concept of being received, not received?
I like the anger conversation and the mother energy. I like that you received it in your heart. I usually cloak myself with it, like cocoon it. So that helps me. And as far as the anger, yeah, getting that to be a catalyst is still a lot of, there's still a lot of stuff coming up for that. So yeah, it's a process. So
it is.
Yeah. And the projection piece, to really get it to not be a projection or a reaction. I like that too. So I'm just going with it.
It really is a journey, isn't it, Maria?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I experience it with Jeffrey. It's like he kind of sometimes gets the me standing a bit too fiercely. And what I'm really standing in is the energy I've been feeling from the women I've been working with, from who have been abused, from my experiences with abuse, right? And some of it is, pay attention to me, love. You're not respecting me. And it's legitimate. And some of it is a projection from my past that's not fully healed. And I'm projecting it onto him, right? And
that's the warrior in us wants to do that, right? It doesn't want it in us, it wants it out of us. And it really doesn't serve anyone else to have that on them, so.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So it is a journey of that self-clearing. That's a new word. I just made it up, Maria.
Self-clearing, okay.
Self-clearing. Yeah. Clearing, clarifying.
I get it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're in that purity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that we are truly present to the moment and what is happening in this moment. Not the accumulation from our past lives and past.
Mm-hmm.
This moment.
This is my work.
It's our work. Yeah, it is.
Yes, so, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, very much so. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the anger again. It is very much part of our journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if it's not in defense of ourselves, even if we take that anger and project it out in that manner, like not just projecting our personal anger, but our anger at it, at the issue, mm-hmm. and being angry with the issue and just being angry, it serves no one, and it does put the masculine on defense and accomplishes very little, right? As far as equality and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it all traces back to that moment of how were we received by our parents, right? Mm-hmm. How did they see us? When we came into the world, were we the girl and they wished they had a boy? Did they value boys over girls? Did they, right? Were they in fear about how they were going to care for you? Were their prosperity issues up?
Right.
We triggered them and then we adopted them.
I really like the idea of our light being dimmed because, you know, our guardians didn't want us to shine so much because they knew what we might be walking into and we couldn't be bigger than what we were allowed to be. So very much we were kept lower by our feminine. It kept power and masculine. I'm getting too far off track, so I'm not going to go there, but just that the masculine battle with the feminine and, you know, how we want to defend other feminine energy is admirable, right? Yeah, very admirable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of the journey for sure.
Yeah.
And when we can accept all, then everyone can accept us.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Wherever we are in that struggle, in that drama that we've come here to work through, play out. Yeah. All right, dear ladies, I think we've checked in with everybody. Such rich, rich, heartfelt sharing. I want to thank each of you for being here and being so present. And I'll continue to be holding you as you are holding this part of you in the energy of being received. And then the next lesson should be up Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest. We'll have the next one up and continue the grand journey. So I love you all. I'm going to unmute the line so we can say goodbye. We'll see you in a week. Oops.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. It was
bye-bye.
Nice
to see everybody. Good to
Thank
see you.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.